Hello and welcome back to the Hot Take Podcast. I'm your host, George Poulos. It's been a little while. As we've said before, we're just going to keep putting in these new episodes when we can get to it and when there's plenty of news. I am with my co-host, the big guy, Andrew. What's up?
How's it going, George?
I'm good, man. Just chilling, ready to talk some NFL. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about the big stories so far this week. Of course, if you pay attention to the NFL, you know about this Jamal Adams trade. What was your response to it?
Well, I think the big winner in this trade is Jamal Adams. He wanted to go to a good team, a potential playoff, and to a contender. And the Seahawks are definitely that. They have a good roster, a solid defense, and Jamal Adams is just going to be a nice addition to that. But I think both the Jets and the Seahawks are kind of the losers of this deal, where the Jets are losing a really talented first-round player, which, if you look at their past, they have not been able to keep their first-round talent in their organization. They tend to lose them before their 5 years are up. And, of course, the Seahawks are going to have to pay him a large sum of money in order to keep him around. So I think that, again, the big winner here has to be Jamal Adams. And the teams involved just are getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah, let's so to clarify about this trade, so the Seattle Seahawks traded one of their safeties. I think it's McDougal. I don't even think he was a starter on the team, or he might have been. He's not a big name. The next two first round draft picks, that'd be this upcoming draft in 2021 and 2022, a second round pick this year, along with that player, they got Jamal Adams in a fourth round pick from the Jets. So, I mean, the news the whole offseason was like, oh, are the Cowboys going to pick him up, or who's going to pick him up? We all knew that he was not going to be a Jet because it was just pretty obvious. He did not like the coaches there. He did not like the organization anymore and wasn't willing to accept it. And it's kind of like the complete like Jets thing to do. They're always up there in the top 10. They always seem to get good players, especially on the defensive side of the ball the last 10 years. But they just don't develop their talent, it seems like. Like Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams now, Muhammad Wilkerson. The list goes on, and it's just really disappointing to see this franchise continue to deteriorate.
Exactly, and the other thing is, when you look at Jamal Adams as a player, he's a really good safety. I think that he's a little bit better in the strong safety position, and that was where he thrived, being able to come up and make those hits. He can be a part of blitz packages, but of course just be a guy who's reliable, who can make the tackles and then occasionally jump the routes and get you an interception. But for the Seahawks, I just don't know if he's going to be enough of a difference maker to put them over the edge, first off within their division and then within the conference itself. Because if you look at who they got to go by, is he the type of player who's going to help you beat the 49ers and the Rams and even the Cardinals now on a regular basis? I just don't know. And for someone who's going to be signing for somewhere between $12 to $17 million a year as a safety in order for them to keep him, I just don't know if he's that type of player with that kind of cap hit that the Seahawks are going to be able to keep long term for and have him as a successful part of that organization.
You don't think he could be kind of like a Richard Sherman for that? Because I know
no, because again, he's a safety. I think that Earl Thomas would have been a better value for the Seahawks. Again, he brings his knowledge of the team. He's a veteran presence, and he's a great player. Now, am I saying that Jamal Adams can't be the same caliber of player as Earl Thomas? No, but do I think that a free safety on that defense is going to be what's the big need in order to stop San Francisco and the LA Rams? I just don't think that for the money he's going to end up being making, that he's the solution for them.
Yeah, I would say I generally agree with you, but I still think if you want to win now and you want to make that defense even better, I think it was a good move. Now, you're right. In the future, probably not the best because you have Russell Wilson's contract, and you probably won't have room because we were discussing this before we recorded, and you mentioned that the cap space is going to go down because of coronavirus. So if you're the Seattle Seahawks GM, are you thinking, hey, we got to just win now? We have Bruce Irvin. We have Bobby Wagner. We have a bunch of good corners, and now we're adding Jamal Adams. Is that kind of like, I guess, a mentality if you're putting yourself in those shoes?
Yeah, and it's not like the Seahawks don't have cap space. It's just I don't think that the free safety position or even the strong safety position is what they needed in order to get that team over the hump to in the playoffs against those other good teams within their division, and then of course on to making a run in the playoffs and potentially going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think overall, if you're talking about the next couple years, I think it's a big win. Hopefully that they can get over the hump now. I still think the more important thing here would have been to get Russell Wilson some help on the offensive line or get him another weapon alongside DK Metcalf. But, you know, all pro anyways is always a good ad. So I think it was a win, but yeah, you're right. In the future, it might be looked as a loss because he probably won't even be on this roster.
Yeah, and especially after you give up 2 first-round picks, those are pretty valuable.
Right.
There are only a few players other than a quarterback where you can consider giving 2 round picks. Again, maybe a pass rusher, like a top 5 pass rusher, or a quarterback, or potentially like a DeAndre Hopkins or a Michael Thomas type player, where those types of talents can elevate your team above and beyond what a potential 1st or 2 first-round picks can get you.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be really interesting to see like where this goes. But yeah, I think overall they did an okay job. As you mentioned before, those 1st-round draft picks are really valuable. And if we're going back to Legion of Boom, they picked up all 4 of those guys, Maxwell, Sherman, Thomas, and Chancellor, all in the, I believe, 4th through on day 3. So, you know, you're talking about value there, and then you're spending way too much value for, even though a great player like Jamal Adams, in the end, it doesn't look good value-wise if you screw up these picks that you have the next 2 years because you don't have a 1st-round pick.
Exactly.
All right. I think that's it for that one. Let's talk about this Patriots situation. Now, I believe you have a list of who left, but I think it was 4 players, I believe you said, and it's not looking good for good old Bill Belichick right now.
Yeah, after the big news earlier about the signing of Cam Newton, it's now come out that a lot of Patriots players will be opting out of the 2020 season, including some big names on their defense, like Hightower. So the thing about the Patriots is, yes, were they good last year? They were. Did they get themselves a quarterback, which they needed after losing Tom Brady? Yes. But at the same time, that defense has some issues now with some key players and some key contributors on that team opting out for the season. And it's going to be interesting to see what Bill Belichick does with replacing those guys and how he's going to be scheming his defense this coming year in order to compensate for the loss of those players.
Yeah, and especially on the Patriots last year, it was all defense, pretty much, and it was evident after that Baltimore Ravens game that they really weren't that good of a team offensively. So I think this hurts them even more. So is it the Bills' division to lose, or is this still like sneaky Bill Belichick is going to find a way to win 10 games?
Again, we're going to have to see how they are able to use Cam Newton. As good of a player as he is, I'm just not sure if they're designed to run and scheme with his style of play. And again, if their offense can click, it'll be a different story. The loss of these defensive players isn't going to be as great of an impact. But at the same time, if you aren't able to put points on the board and your defense is struggling to hold an ever strengthening AFC East, where you have a Bills team that's looking good, you have the Giants getting better, you have the Jets, of course, getting better, even with the loss of Jamal Adams. I think that Sam Darnold can take another step and develop as a quarterback. And the Dolphins, of course, with adding Tua and some key pieces, I think Brian Flores is setting them up for success. It's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots are able to compete with these teams that they're going to be playing twice a year, getting better, while they seem to be taking steps back.
Well, you didn't answer my first question. Is this the Bills' division to lose?
I don't know. I think that we still have to see someone dethrone the Patriots before we can put it as anyone's to lose. The real key is, are the Patriots taking enough of a step back where these teams are just at the same level, or are they still kind of behind it? We're not really sure. And even though I like what the Bills are doing with adding guys like Diggs and giving Allen some more weapons, I don't know if they're ready to make that step as a team as good as they were last year. So I wouldn't say it's the Bills' division to lose yet. I'd see how they perform this year and also how the Patriots are doing.
So if you had to pick a division winner, you'd still probably pick the Patriots at this point.
I put my faith in Belichick until he proves me wrong.
Yeah, that's fair. I was going to go the same way. I just wanted to kind of see if the way you were thinking, because the hype on the Bills is really strong. It's almost Browns-esque from last season.
Yeah, and the Bills, don't get me wrong, they have a solid defense. They're building a really nice offense with the pieces that they're putting around Allen. He's been taking steps every year to improve. He's got really good talent behind him, like natural arm strength. He's got good vision of the field. But can they as a team come together and beat the Patriots? I don't know yet. It's still to be seen. And if they do this year, I think from then on, it's going to be their division to lose until we see some aging in their players. Because, again, they have a young core who's enthusiastic to win, and they're all taking steps to get better.
Yeah. And another thing, you know, I mentioned the Cleveland Browns from last year. You know, they had all that hype that they're going to win the division and they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Same thing with the Bills this offseason. But I would say stability-wise, you know, you have a really good head coach, while the Browns last year really didn't have a head coach, honestly. Let's be realistic here. Freddie Kitchens was not deserving of that job, and he was not competent in that job. So I like McDermott a lot more, and yeah.
I like what the Browns have done in the offseason. They added some really good pieces. They helped strengthen that offensive line. They got a really good tight end, and they got a new head coach who I think is going to be able to complement that team well and get them going in the direction they need to be heading.
Definitely. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to talk a little Cam Newton. Obviously, if you've been living under a rock, Cam Newton signed a relatively small deal with the Patriots, a one-year deal. I think it was barely $1 million. You know, he last seen being very healthy. He looked like one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he was over 60% completion percentage. He was passing the ball more. And then the last two seasons, he's had this weird issue with his foot, his shoulder. What do you think is the longevity here with him with the Patriots? Do you think it will work? And how will people see Cam in the future, like 10 years from now, with this move?
like the move for both sides. I don't think it's going to be a long-term deal. I like the fact that they're giving him the opportunity now because they could have signed him at the beginning of free agency, but they didn't. They waited. They bought their time, and no one seemed to want Cam Newton. So the Patriots came in. They swooped him up for the vet minimum of $1 million base salary and only $500,000 of it guaranteed. So you look at the type of player you're getting. If he truly is healthy, like what he's been saying and the videos he's been putting out, it's going to be an interesting fit where you have a good enough quarterback to win you games. I just don't know if he is the kind of quarterback who fits Bill Belichick's system where you throw the checkdowns and you stay in the pocket and get the quick, accurate passes to your receivers and those slant routes and whatnot. I feel like Cam's more of the flashy type of quarterback where he wants to move around, he wants to get out of the pocket, he wants to take those deep shots downfield, where Belichick's more of a methodical type, get these yardage, push downfield, take the shots when the defense gives it to you. And I just don't know if that's the type of quarterback that the Patriots want long term, but I think for this 1 year, it's a really great opportunity for both sides where Cam could go out to another team next year and get a massive deal.
Yeah, definitely. It's also a good opportunity for Jarrett Stidham to develop even more with another great veteran quarterback and a former MVP.
Yeah, and again, if the Stidham thing doesn't work out in New England, there are a lot of good quarterbacks that are going to be coming into the league next year. You have, of course, Fields and Lawrence. So not only could they draft a quarterback potentially, but then they can go out and get a quarterback. Like, let's say Deshaun Watson doesn't end up getting a deal done, or Dak Prescott isn't tagged again and they can't get a deal done. Potentially even a quarterback like Derek Carr, where if they release him to cut cap and either draft a quarterback or go with Mariota. There's a lot of options next year coming up that the Patriots could potentially exercise where they don't need to re-sign Cam. They can get the quarterback that fits their system perfectly. And that's where I think the Patriots are in this really awesome position where we have a COVID 2020 year, which is basically almost like a wash of a season. And next year you can go out and really make some moves.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. It's going to be a different, definitely interesting offseason. While we still have, it seems like, a lot more time, because that was the end of at least three segments that we had planned, what do you think is the future for us specifically when it comes to COVID? Do they need to have a bubble? Do they need to do something similar to the NBA? What do you think about that?
Well, the issue with the NFL and a potential bubble, unlike the NBA, where you have a total roster size of 15 and then potentially a staff of another 5 to 10 people, in the NFL, you have 52 men rosters along with potentially another 10 to 20 guys on your practice squad and reserve that need to be ready within the bubble as well, just in case someone does get injured or someone does get COVID. On top of that, you have your entire coaching staff and then the medical staff and the trainers. So each team could potentially have 100, 200 plus people that need to be housed. And with 32 teams, you're looking at thousands of people under one bubble. It's just unrealistic to find a location that not only has enough space football fields wise to accommodate a bubble, but then can house all of these people for that long of a time. So I just don't see it as a logistic possibility for the NFL. And unfortunately, what we've seen is if you don't have a bubble, like in the MLB, you see teams getting COVID and now have to cancel games or forfeit or reschedule because they simply don't have enough active players that are healthy to be on the field. So I think it's going to be a tough situation for the NFL. I think it's still unclear if the NFL season is going to happen. I think as fans and as sports fans, NFL fans, we want to see the season, but at the same time, we also want to look out for the safety of the players because we don't want them to get COVID and potentially have adverse effects on their performance on the field and their lives as a whole going forward if they were to be risked and exposed because of the season. So I think it's a tough decision, and I'm really interested to see how the NFL is going to really implement a system and what that system is going to be.
Yeah, and another, like, you know, we have college football, a lot of people doing just, you know, conference only and stuff like that. Maybe the NFL could implement something like that, like you have a set schedule and then playoffs will be at one location or something like that. I think if it's going to happen, since we can't have a bubble, I think there needs to be a shortened season at the very least, which the NFL doesn't want to do that because they just have the CBA where they're supposed to play now 17 regular season games instead of 16. So I think, honestly, at this point, I hate to sound like Max Kellerman, but I just don't think that we're going to be able to finish a season this year. And with the stubbornness of the NFL owners and Roger Goodell, I don't think that's helping it either. So I'm not really that optimistic at this point.
Yeah, it's really unclear if the season will come back, and if it does, what it's going to look like. Because again, we are seeing players opt out, and I think as we draw closer to the season, you might get some more names opting out. So if there are teams that just can't have their regular rosters, how is that going to really affect? Will they get some sort of compensation in maybe draft picks, or is there going to be some sort of, are certain teams just not going to play? That's the real question. And the uncertainty in it is, I think, fueling more conversation these days, which is why we're just waiting to hear on the NFL what their plan is and what their doctors are saying.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, well, I think that's going to cover us for today. As usual, always follow us on the Facebook page. That's Hot Take Podcast or at Hot Take 95. You can follow me at Greek Freak 95 on Instagram. Andrew has Instagram as well. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Andrew Duvalis, Douvlis.
All right, guys. That's it for us today. Hopefully, you know, NBA starts, you'll be probably hearing this tomorrow, but they start on the 30th. So hopefully we will be able to cover that a little bit about what's going on. If you haven't heard our NBA, bubble review or preview show, that was a good one. We talked a lot about Lakers, Clippers, and who's coming out of the East. That's a great one to watch if you're really interested in the NBA. If not, keep listening to these NFL ones. We're going to come out with them as much as we can. For now, that's going to be it for us. You guys have a great day.